Hey, thanks for joining us today. I'm Karen Spies with Second Wind Women. We talk with women who are on an entrepreneurial journey and learn a little bit about them. One of the things that I think is so fascinating that I'm learning from talking with all of these incredible people is just how much your past builds who you are in your present. I hope you enjoy the episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Second Wind Women. I'm here with Deb Dutcher of Finding Mr. Adorable. Welcome, Deb.
Thank you, Karen. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here, too. So Deb is a former high-tech VP, certified health coach, and best-selling author. She has spent the last 15 years helping hundreds of people take back their health, get into amazing shape, and create new, exciting lives. Oh, my God. Who wouldn't want all that? For the past 3 years, she has worked as a dating coach, helping lonely single boomer gals become fearless at online dating so they can find someone adorable to share their lives with. She was named a top 10 senior dating expert in 2024 and offers her fearless online dating system through her private coaching boot camp and online courses. That's so amazing. Oh my God. So when we talked previously, you had talked about how you had started over in your life, like many, many times. You said you became divorced at 51, you lost a son in your home and in retirement, and you took on the dating scene while you were a health coach. So that's a lot. What was the transition? How did you transition from being a high-tech VP to a health coach?
It was interesting because I got into taking supplements to try and straighten out my body while I was still in high-tech. So I was 49 when I took on the vitamins and decided to do it as a side career because I was not trusting what I was seeing in the economy and seeing in the different companies I had been working for. And I had many, many different careers by the time I made it to a vice president. I was disillusioned. I wanted to work for someone whose hand I could shake and knew they wouldn't sell me down the river on Monday morning. I wanted to work for a smaller company, not a multi-billion dollar company. I wanted to build my own business. So I started first as a nutritional consultant for this company, marketing their vitamins and learning all about that. And they trained me. But then I realized I transitioned out of high tech. I quit the company I was with. I went full time in the nutrition space without any certifications, without any real knowledge. I was just absorbing and reading all these books and listening to doctors who would make speeches at our events. And I learned so much, but it also was slanted toward a company's point of view. And since I came out of high tech and worked for many, many different companies, and I thought, I want to get a global view of this thing called health coaching and nutrition and being a consultant in this space. I don't want to just keep pushing someone's product without understanding why they're the best. They say they're the best. These comparisons say they're the best, but why? So I went back as I was simultaneously still working in a high-tech position as an ops manager for a high-tech think tank, and I had to get a FBI top secret clearance. Ooh. Meantime, I'm going to class online as the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, and I'm also taking a course called Big Impact, which was how to write your book and how to promote it. So I'm doing all this at 62 because I don't have time. I got to do this really fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I became a certified health coach. And then I understood why this company's products were so amazing. And I'm still on them 24 years later. I've not found anything as good. And wow. I take no medication at 73. I'm size 8 at 73. I have energy to burn at 73. And I still do health coaching and corporate wellness events on the side, but my love is dating coaching. So as I was working as a health coach, I have a book called Sexy, Lean, and Strong After 50, and I would get these women who were divorced or widowed, and they would need to whip themselves back into shape, both emotionally and physically, revamp their lifestyle, and I took it on. I just loved it, and I would teach them how you just do something that's better for you every day. And then you add that habit and then you add a new one and you do it like every 30 days, you add another great habit until it's just consistent and you do it without thinking. Then they would get skinny, sexy, lean, and strong. I don't like skinny. They would get sexy, lean, and strong, and some of them didn't get skinny.
Skinny actually doesn't actually look that good.
No, they just turned up. I'm 150 pounds now at 73, and I can just hang out there safely. But I want to be 145. So I'm like my clients. I always have that last 5 pounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then they wanted to date, and they could see that I was dating successfully. And that I had dated successfully and married unsuccessfully. But at the same time, I was helping them get back to the shape and the feelings they wanted to have about themselves. I then could teach them how to use that to get back dating online. So then I started doing the two things simultaneously. Once I moved after my second divorce, I thought, I want to focus on the dating thing because it's kept me going. And it's kept me positive and it's kept me moving. Whereas if I weren't talking to new people and seeing new people and falling in love and falling out of love or falling in like and falling in lust or whatever, what else is there in my life? You know, I have a dog and I have a yard and I have some friends. I need a guy. I like guys. It's fun. I'm just going to be honest. I can live alone, but it's boring. And I like men. I like physical intimacy. I like being loved. That simple.
Amazing. Amazing. So you're working mainly with, you said boomers, but your exercise regimen is over 50, but I'm not going to address that. But what about the online dating bit? Like, particularly for boomers, right, who in general aren't as tech savvy as a lot of other people. Some of them are. My mother has come leaps and bounds in the last 5 years. Amazing. But how do you manage that? Kind of, there's enough trepidation around tech to let alone be putting yourself out there on a dating site.
So what I have found, and I've worked with many widows, plus divorced, plus long time never married in their 60s, and now they want to find someone so they don't go into retirement alone. And the first thing you have to do is acknowledge that it's scary. That's why I call it fearless. You literally have to look it in the face and go, I'm really scared of this. I have no idea exactly what the outcome will be, but I want it enough to fight through that fear. And if you learn all the techniques you need to stay safe, then you can jump in there fearlessly because you know how to extricate yourself before it gets dangerous. So I was just working with a 77-year-old widow. She's been single for 4 years since she lost her husband. She did have a romantic liaison with a guy in her retirement community, but they broke up after about a year and a half, and she was pretty demoralized. She thought she was done. She thought, it'll never happen again for me. I met her at a dance where her daughter was performing and a singer, and we just chit-chatted while we were dancing together. And then she met my boyfriend, who was sitting next to me, who doesn't like to dance. So I'm on the dance floor without him. Who cares? You know, it's a gay club. You can do that, right?
Good for you.
And this woman was so sweet. And so she came to a couple of my free meetups and sat in on them and observed. And then she booked a private call and she bought into a course, but it overwhelmed her. So we converted her ticket to a little boot camp orientation and then private coaching. And it took her a few months to get over the fear and the worry. And I have special programs and special processes and special little exercises that I do with my people so they become unafraid. And I walk them through the mechanics of the sites. We figure out which site they're going to try. And then I can get on Zoom with them, look over their shoulder, and we can poke around the site together. I tell them where to go, what to do, how to poke it, etc., what to say. And that's part of getting them comfortable. My goal is not to have people with me a really long time. I'm not that kind of coach. Literally, I want you, I can work with you for 90 days, just like I did in the health coaching cycle, and I will change your life dramatically. And you will be ready to date online fearlessly. But it does take making sure you know who you are, what you want, what you don't want, and your boundaries.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's amazing. And I have to say, you said that you had won an award for being a boomer dating. I've never heard of a boomer dating coach, particularly online.
Well, they call it senior dating expert, but okay. I wanted to call myself the boomer online dating coach because I saw a lot of dating coaches and I took a couple courses from a few just to see what they were saying. And I was saying the same things. Some of them were psychiatrists. Some of them were NLP. Some of them were, you know, women who'd come through abusive relationships. All kinds of people. And I thought, yeah, but none of you are really dealing with the 50, 60, 70 thing. It's different. They were usually 30s and 40s. Some of them were in their 50s. There were a few that do it as a couple. And I thought they were good, but I didn't really like the kinds of things they put out there. So I sat back and when I looked at how to communicate, how to do it right, I decided the most important thing is foundational. You have to just
more, what do you mean?
Foundational in the sense of get an idea of what the sites are looking for, get an idea of how to manipulate their algorithms, get an idea of look at the demographics where you live. I have had clients I've had to say, you need to move. If you don't want to date a guy who doesn't live outside your state or 75 miles outside of where you want to drive, I'm sorry, you're living in the wrong place. It's all gays. And it's nobody your age. You know, there was a woman, I forget, I think it was Fort Lauderdale or something, somewhere in Florida. And she was hoping to date. She'd moved from New York. And we looked at the demographics where she was living near her son. There were literally 2,000 men her age and half we knew were gay. Because it's a gay part of Florida. I said, sweetie, you're going to have to move. And she agreed with me. So we're moving her in a couple months. And then we're going to, you know, I think in the new year, and then we're going to start over with her program. I mean, you have to be realistic. Yeah. I didn't want to drive more than 50 miles. I found a guy that's 12 miles away.
Yeah, 50 miles would be, I dated someone who lived 30 miles away from me once and it was just exhausting.
Yeah, it can be. And that's the other thing. I teach people when you start online dating, you can be a little bit nervous, but put on your fearless superwoman hat, you know, the gauntlets. I have this thing in my boot camp where she's wearing gauntlets. Because there's two images. See the butterfly back there? When we go into a new cycle of life, we often have to do what I call cocooning. We have to go in and like a little caterpillar, we have to ultimately become mush while we absorb all kinds of new things so that we can come out transformed. And I want people to think about themselves as the Ms. Adorable Butterfly. Butterflies don't care if a flower is dead or dry or the meadow is no longer producing. They simply fly somewhere else. And they can't waste a lot of time because they don't live very long. So, I'm just being realistic. When I went back out at 70 after getting rid of a long-term relationship where we were not ultimately compatible, I thought, I'm going to do this now. And if I can't make something happen in a few months, maybe I'm just going to take a break and not worry about it. But I made something happen in 3 weeks using my system, which is all about how to do it as fast as possible, as safely as possible, and picking the right site and picking the right guys to talk to and making sure you're repelling the wrong ones. That's the other secret. We cannot look vulnerable. We cannot look weak. We cannot look silly. We cannot look dumb. We cannot look femme fatale. If we want to attract a worthy, upright, conscientious, beautiful human being, male, we have to look like that in a female form.
Right.
And we're competing at my age, at 70. I was competing at women in their 40s wanted these guys. They want these guys in their 70s that are widowers, that are retired, that have plenty of money, that are good people, that have grandchildren. They want that. And they don't get it. We get it. So I have to make sure my gals are ready to compete.
Right.
Willing to compete and fearless about competing. Otherwise, don't do online dating.
Yeah.
Wait, somebody had introduced you. Go. Yeah. I hate matchmakers. I shouldn't say that, but I spent a lot of money with one in my 50s, got nowhere. And I get a lot of people who spent a lot of money with matchmakers coming back to me going, okay, I want to do it your way. This isn't working. They're not picking the right people for me. I gave them all this money. Nothing's happening. They won't give me my money back. I go, fine, let's just do this. You know, let that go. They're not going to deliver you someone that makes sense because they haven't taken the time to know you.
I mean, it sounds very much like what you were saying about your client who had to move, right? Because matchmakers only have a very limited pool of people that they can match you with. Whereas, you know, online dating
is very limited.
Ton, Yeah.
But then there's a lot of scammers online. So that's the first thing I teach people to do. How do you avoid or blow up the scammers when they hit your desk? And don't be afraid of them, because if you don't give them information, they can't do crud.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's
they can't.
True.
You can shut them down so fast. And then there's Google Voice where you can, you know, mask your phone number. There's all kinds of things you can do.
Yeah, for sure. So you are so energetic and lively. How do you keep, like, is that part of your system?
That's my health system.
Oh, really?
I had little egg white bites and some avocado. When I first wake up, I don't drink coffee, because if I drink caffeine, I'm like spinning off the ceiling. So I do some cocoa, some good organic cocoa. And then I do some exercise. Then I shower. Then I eat protein and healthy fats. So it's either egg whites with some avocado, or I'll eat peanut butter on some healthy whole grain toast, or I'll have a granola with some low-fat yogurt or non-fat yogurt. It just depends. And some fruit. And I take all my vitamins. And I take a little fistful of vitamins and supplements and things that help me get through the day without having to resort to medication or painkillers. Because I have a bad back and a bad neck. And if I don't do yoga and go to my chiropractor, I'm a mess. So I just do it every single day, see the chiropractor every 2 weeks, and I'm on top of it. You know,
one of those good habits you were talking about, right?
And drink tons of water and get enough sleep. Yeah. It's such a simple formula. It's just hard for people because stay away from processed sugar. I mean, I still eat some stuff that has sugar. I eat tons
everywhere.
Of chocolate, but I spread it out over the week, one bar over the week, little squares every day, because I need it. Partway through the day, I just want my chocolate. And it's got caffeine in it, so I'm sure that's part of it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You're reminding me of a friend of mine who was a massage therapist, and she ended up training to be a yoga teacher because she said, if they do yoga, they don't need massages anymore. And they don't, because other people were coming here for massages like weekly for years. And she's like, I really wish they could. I'm sure she loved them. I'm sure that was great. But at the same time, she's like, if they did yoga, they could do it themselves.
You can and you can't. I use massage therapists as well. Yoga, I've been doing since I was 21. So that's how many years? 52 years?
Huh.
I'm not one of those really good, you know, throwing your legs behind your head. I do yoga to warm my back up, to do some leg strength, I can do push-ups. I can do men's push-ups. I can't do chin-ups. Oh. Still working on that. And every time you get hurt, like I get hurt in car accidents or I break an ankle or whatever, you know, I get bad sciatica, I have to learn how to take care of myself. So I have little massage wands that will pummel that out, the sciatica. And I roll on tennis balls where you have a hard knot. It hurts like heck. But you lay down on this tennis ball and you just roll on it while you're screaming.
Yeah, like the foam roller. Yeah.
And yoga can roll you out. Yoga can, if you do certain yoga moves, you can loosen everything up. If I have a migraine, I have neck things that I do for that. There's a lot of ways to self-help.
Yeah. Yeah. So is your Fit After 50 program like wrapped into your dating coaching?
It can be. I also do image consulting. So I will do wardrobe makeovers and hair makeovers, and I don't physically do them. I give people feedback.
Right.
When I first get them as a client, I don't say a word. I'm just trying to get them to tune into who they are, love who they are, tell me what they want to bring into their life. And as we work through the process and we start building the profile and having the photos that will draw in the right guys, I will say something like, have you always worn your hair that way? Have you ever thought about a different shape of glasses? Have you ever learned how to make up eyes that have the little bit of the hoodie thing? You know, I will just kind of like, and I'll say something like, I would love to see you in a different top, because what you're wearing right now is a little plain. I just say it to them. It's just too plain. I need you to stand out. So I wonder if you have anything like this in your wardrobe. And we just kind of work our way into it.
I mean, that's...
fits. Once they know how to build a dating outfit for different events, now they're feeling more confident. Once I've given them a little bit of a makeover, just having them change things or go see their hairdresser and have her do this, they get more confident. So and if they need to lose weight, I incorporate some of my health coaching into it. So I'm pretty much a one-stop shop coach. I don't do career coaching.
Oh, okay. Well, there's one thing.
Hi, it's Karen. I wanted to remind you guys to go to secondwindwomen.com/community-offers to see all the offers from our guests for free meetups, discounts on products, consults, etc. So do check that out. And don't forget that we are here to support you. We can help you with Google Ads. We can help you with websites. We can help you with Facebook and Instagram ads. We can help you with Google reviews. There's so many digital ways we can support your business, and we're happy to help. Just reach out to me and my team.
So I suspect when some people come to you, they're in a place where they're like, no one is ever going to want me again. Mm-hmm. I feel alone. I'm depressed. I feel like the world has abandoned me. How do those people get up the, I hate to use the word gumption, but how do they get up like the gumption or the energy or the like, what do you have that they kind of hook onto that they're like, that's the thing, I'm going to go get this?
I have them come into the meetup where I have members who can tell them what's been working or not working for them, super honest. I have them watch a bunch of training videos. So I've pre-recorded literally an entire course on this, and I've got it online. It's do it yourself if you want it to be. I also teach it every quarter when I have the energy to groups of 8 to 10, because I rewrite your profile and edit your photos as part of it. But there's things you need to digest apart, and then there's the support you need from a coach or a couple of other people that are doing the same thing as you at the same time. Is that that feeling that I'm not alone. I'm not the only one here. And I love teaching the group course because it's so much fun. And I love the boot camps. It's one Saturday a month. And it's just so much fun. And we all just, I deliver my presentation, takes about 45 minutes, and they get a whole bunch of handouts. And then we just talk. We don't record the talking. I sometimes record the boot camp. But I just find that before me, when I was trying to date online, I had no support. When I was 51, I'd been married for 31 years. I'd been, you know, monogamous for 31 years. I met the guy at 19. What did I know? I married him at 21. I was so lost, which is why I ended up in a bad second marriage.
It happens a lot, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, it's my mission to keep people don't give in. What did we call it? You set a bar and then you agree to go below it, right? Settle. You settle for what you think is all you can get.
Yeah. And which also feels shitty. Even if you think what you're getting is like better than okay, also feels shitty.
Because you know you have gone against something deep inside you and you tell yourself it can be better. So when you first come out of a long relationship, whether marriage or you're living with someone, because I have lots of clients that were living with someone for 10 years and then it didn't turn into marriage and it was very demoralizing. Rebuilding your psyche, honoring who you are, and knowing you're not the same as when you went into that relationship. I made the mistake of trying to date at 51 like I was 19 back in college, which meant I said yes to anybody that asked me out. Because if they had the taste to ask me out, they might be worth going out with. That's what my little 19-year-old self thought. The only three things: you couldn't be married, you couldn't have a venereal disease, and you couldn't smoke. Those were my guidelines at 19.
Those are okay lines in the sand. But yeah, no, I think a lot of people are in that situation, especially when you get older and you know, people aren't, and nowadays people aren't around a lot of people in person. It's hard, you know? And also, I think men, don't necessarily want to say men, but like the active person who would normally be like, hey, are you single? Like the reflection is that that's aggressive or that's something that people don't ever want. So the online space, you know, is so much more transparent in that way.
Yeah, because when I used to get asked out in real life, we call it IRL in real life. Right. As opposed to online. And I would turn to these guys and I would be in the dog park with my hair in a little baseball cap and my dog. And from the back, because of my figure, I looked, you know, 35. This is at 51, right? And they would tap me on the shoulder. Oh, blah, 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 blah. I turn around and I have a youthful face. And at 51, it was really youthful. But I would look at this kid. He was like 28. And I would smile and go, you know, you're sweet and I could be your mother. No, yeah. You couldn't. And they would just sweet talk me because they were looking for a cougar probably. But, yeah. You know, your brain, you lose contact with reality because you are so sequestered and so unaware. And so now you're out in the real, I called it being thrown into the wide world of men at 51 with no knowledge of what I was going to be hit with. Well, then do it again at 68. I had a little better idea, but now yeah. I looked 52 from the back. Mm-hmm. Maybe if I'm stretching at 49. And so I would have people come up to me and then I would turn around and they'd be like, oh, I go, yeah, I could be your grandmother. Thanks for the compliment. Well, you really look good. I go, uh-huh. And from the back. And I would make a joke of it. I would say, and now, because I'm a dating coach, I go, by the way, is your grandmother looking for someone to date? Here's my card.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Sometimes I got clients, guys in their 40s, who wanted me to teach them what to do with online dating. It's been interesting to observe the dating online phenomenon because it is, as you said, almost impossible to meet someone in real life. And if you do, who the heck are they? You can get yourself in trouble with people in real life. I was scammed by a guy that I met in real life before I got smart between the two marriages. And that's because I fell for the whole thing, hook, line, and sinker. Loaned him money, signed on his business. We were supposedly engaged without a ring. Went to meet his parents, went to meet his kids. The guy then stiffed me and filed bankruptcy. You can get scammed by someone you meet in real life, who, by the way, was born again Christian and was a friend of a friend's.
Wow. Wow.
So it's all about how you protect yourself, not where you met them.
Yeah. What do you tell people about? See, I'm always sending my daughter stuff from social media that's like, you should date 3 men at once so that you're not like instantly locked into, you know, putting all your eggs in one basket.
Yes,
so
and no. This you can date multiple. This is my rule that I teach my people. You may date multiple partners, date, not have sex with.
Right. Yeah, that was part of it.
Platonically, I did 5 in a month. And as I moved them through my process, because I have a little process where you're seeking compatibility, you're looking at the what I want, what I don't want, are you matching what I need, and you're winnowing them out. But I always had a couple in the wings because you just don't know. So I do agree because too many guys, when they meet what they think is their ideal woman, they want to lock you down on the second date. I had to push my current guy that I've been with almost 3 years off on the third date and tell him, I'm seeking compatibility and I have a list of things I need to know about you first. And he goes, well, are you talking to other guys? Yes, I am. Are you dating other guys? Yes, I am. Are you kissing other guys? Yes, I am. Are you doing anything else with other guys? No, I'm not. And so that's the guy I'm with right now. I mean, he was so, and the guys I coach tell me the same thing. They don't like dating multiple. They don't want to be seen as a player. I feel like women, we don't have a choice because there's so much competition that we need to know our options. We need to have a wide array to look at. We need to know how to manage and juggle that. Some women can't. So some women are like the men. And I'm coaching a couple right now that they came to the boot camp and they're on the dating sites. And now we're winnowing through guys and we're having dates. But they like zeroed in on one guy and they wanted to try and make that him. Well, he was too newly widowed. And he ultimately said, I need to date some more people first because I really don't know yet. Because he was with his wife for 40 plus years. Just like my guy. So he dated a couple of women before me and he got in trouble with a gold digger and he learned. So we just have to go through this growth process. When you become single late in life, no matter who you are, where you started from, if you decide you're going to date online, you better do a major self-inventory and you ideally have someone coaching you through it because it's complex.
Yeah. And like you said, it's really easy. I was reminded it's real easy to like find something that kind of works and go, okay. I'm reminded of, I watched Portlandia and they had the whole session. Have you seen the online dating episode?
Oh, no, but I have to watch it.
My gosh, it's so good. And there's this woman and she has like a whole team of people and they're like going through profiles for her and like editing the pics, if you know what I'm saying. And
I know what you're saying.
And so she gets to a point, she's having dinner with one guy, and he's like, I feel like I've known you forever. And she goes, yeah, me too. Like, why don't we just say this is the thing? And he's like, okay, just so you know, I'm a little bit bald. And she's like, well, I'm going to put on 20 pounds. I hope you don't mind. And he's like, I'm going to start having like a light emotional affair, a little texting. Like, they go on and on. But the whole idea is, right, they instantly want to lock into, okay, I don't have to date anymore.
Bingo.
But if you're exactly. making dating fun, then why would you need to do that?
A date for fun. You can do that while you're also seeking Mr. Adorable. You can date for fun while you're seeking compatibility. You can find someone to go on a dog walk with. You can find someone to go to a movie with. You can find someone to go to a theater with. You can find someone to do lots of things. And then if you do enough of them with that person, maybe you want to hang out. But I minimum 7 dates. I mean, this guy got, we started dating February 2nd is our anniversary of our first date in 2023. And he was already trying to lock me down on Valentine's Day. And I finally let him lock me down sometime in late March.
Mm-hmm.
And that was short term for me, but I could evaluate him. I have a lot. I have 100 first dates under my belt. I have
that many.
I've been on 5 dates with, but out of 100 first dates, I size people up pretty quickly now, and I know how to do it. And that's what I teach my people. But remember, I did 50 in my 50s, 50 in my 60s. So, and the last 5 were in my 70s. So it's spread out. It's not as it sounds.
Oh my gosh. Did you see that movie, 100 First Dates?
Yeah.
I saw it, but I don't remember.
It was very cuckoo. And that was a younger person. So
right.
So what I find interesting is people tend to write us off at this age. They think you don't need to date. You don't need love. You don't. Why can't you just be happy alone? When I started, this business started because of my TikTok. I was looking at my health coaching of 20 years and I went, you know, I don't really want to do this anymore. People don't listen to me. It's such a simple formula. Can't they just do it? Sleep, drink water, get exercise, get rid of your stress, eat right, don't do sugar, don't eat crap. You know, I'm so tired of saying this. And then I'm on TikTok venting about dating. It was my very first TikTok in October of 2021, right after I bought my house and started dating again. I had 110,000 hits on a 25-second TikTok and all these people asking questions. How are you doing it? Why are you doing it? What are you doing? And then I started doing what they call TikTok Go Lives. I would have 3,000 people get on the line with me to watch for however much time. And I got clients off of that before I even knew I could be a dating coach. They wanted me to write their profile. I went, okay, let me see if I can do it. So I came up with a questionnaire and I came up with some photo rules and I went, and then I would get, and she just got married. My very first client just got married last month, 2 months ago, September.
That's amazing. Oh my
but
gosh.
I got her dating and I got her back out there. It's her fourth marriage. She's 72.
Wow.
You know, so when I looked at people wanted what I had to say. They wanted to hear it, and they wanted to hear it from someone they could relate to, not just a coach, a therapist who decided dating coaching had good money in it, and it was probably a little bit less stressful than regular therapying.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I do get clients who can't move forward, and they need to see a therapist. They needed to go through grief therapy. And same with health coaching. I had people who had not gone through the release process. They hadn't gone through the grief release. And I have a cycle within my little program, which is release, visualize, recharge. And you have to constantly do that while you're dating at any age, but we don't always consciously do it. Just like we don't mindfully choose the right thing to eat. We just shove it in our mouth because it's there. So it's the same thing with dating. Because you really need to be mindful of what you're doing in that moment. And so sometimes guys are like, their hands are all over you or whatever. And I've had to bat them away and kind of smack them up the little face verbally. You know, especially widowers. They're really quick to try and have sex. If they're most of the widowers I've been with have had wives who died of an illness that they were caregivers and it lasted a long time and they went into shock. And then when they finally figured out it works again, they want to try it out on some girl.
Yeah. And, yeah.
You have to deal with all of that. And we're not sure we can have sex. After that 30-year relationship, my first one out of college, I had a boyfriend. We went to my ranch and I was like, I've never made love to anyone else in 31 years. I don't know if I can do this. And we got through it and it was beautiful. And he was a nice man. He just wasn't the man. It's really just about accepting yourself and stepping into it. Like if you're going to become the butterfly, you have to spread those wings and you have to fly.
Yeah. And, you know, I think something a lot of, you know, the women who listen to this podcast are, you know, in this age range we're talking about. And I think there's something about, you know, becoming the butterfly and extending yourself and wanting to fly when society sees older women as so irrelevant and they're so underrepresented, underfeatured, undervalued. In fact, there was this really, I was actually posted about this on LinkedIn a couple weeks ago. There was a woman who was a performance artist who was Japanese, and she would put on a gray wig and she would go outside and suddenly she would become, she was like 20.
Invisible.
Yeah, invisible. She would like just sit at a bench. Nobody, it was really heartbreaking. And not that I think that, I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't watch the videos, but I think that it's all the more important for people to hype themselves up and build themselves and feel that and have that kind of dating interaction when they're in a place where everybody's like, okay, well, it's over for you now. Just go ahead.
Make cookies, play with your grandkids, go garden.
Oh my God.
Volunteer. And, you know, some women, it's good. That's what they want. And then they're comfortable because some of my clients will go through the work with me and then they'll decide, you know, I kind of just want to live with the memories of my husband for a while. I'm really glad I took your course. I'm really glad we worked together. I want to just see who I am. Because part of the issue with dating is if you don't know who you are, how do you know who you want?
Yeah.
You have to know who you are and accept it and love it.
And if you don't know who you are, you can easily get swept away into somebody else's what they think you are. And that's what happened. Like after you've been with somebody 30 years, right? You're half
of this. You're these two people. I mean, I was close to suicide 3 times after that breakup because I did not know who I was. I didn't know if I wanted to be there anymore without that man who I loved with all my heart. I couldn't deal with it. I spent nights just crying on the floor, curled around my black lab, not moving. It was awful. And part of it is you can find some affirmation from others, but ultimately it has to come from you. Has to.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're just listening to other people tell you what to do, which almost never actually works.
Well, my sister told me to move to Idaho and meet some of her guys. And I'm like, nope, that's not for me. I don't see compatibility in anybody up there.
Yeah, the first thing is Idaho has to be compatible.
It's very beautiful, parts of it.
I'm sure it's an amazing place for vacation. But a lot of those rural areas.
It's on the side of the spectrum I'm not comfortable in.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a friend who was in Colorado who had a ranch. And she's like, I'm looking on Data Farmer. This was years ago. And I was like, that sounds rough.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, because I want somebody. I have the ranch is my life. Like if they don't know how to
find one.
Yeah, I don't find know one.
And that's and my guy has, you know, a big property and he used to be a wholesale nurseryman and he has greenhouses and shade houses. And I mean, he did it all and he finally decided to retire. And he kind of doesn't know what to do with himself.
But he knows who he is.
But he knows who he is, and he's just wonderful. I mean, I'm madly in love.
That's awesome. That might have something to do with your energy and your glow as well.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a big part of it.
So how can people work with you, Deb?
Oh, my goodness. Like,
What's the easiest way to engage? Is it book? Sorry, go ahead.
I'll give you a link via email. I set up this little short call called Get Acquainted. So they can spend a couple, 15 minutes with me and we can chit chat. And if they like what happens in those 15 minutes, I would move to what I call the Fearless Dating Strategy Call, which is also free. You can move to that. If you think you know me well enough after this, you can just move to that. But it's on my website. And I also have a link, just a calendar scheduling link. I prefer to talk to people. I will usually, if you book a call, I send you this little questionnaire. So I know a little bit about you. It's got like 7 questions. And then we get on the phone. And I don't try to sell because that's not where I'm coming from. What I want to do is understand your blocks, your concerns, your fears, your desires. And then I can point you. I can do some coaching or I can send you to a self-paced course. You can come to a boot camp. You can do whatever you want that makes sense.
Amazing. Amazing. I'm sure you are changing many lives in actually like not good ways, but like joyful ways, right? That's yes.
You have to stay joyful. There's so much to be. It's a tough world right now. It's a tough environment. And yet we still want love. We still need love.
I think it's more important now.
It is more important now. To find someone you can bond with, and we don't have to be married. I don't necessarily want to be married again, and my guy may not ever want to be married again, but we can be a bonded, exclusive, committed couple in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of his family, you know. And for me, that works. It works. So, but people can decide. Some of my clients said, no, I have to be married again. I want to get married. I don't want to do this. You know, just I go, fine, then we'll find you someone who wants to be married. Not right. always the easiest, but they are out there.
I mean, there's all kinds of different ways to have a relationship. I mean,
all kinds.
By the time you reach a certain age, I think you should be aware of that, right?
Yeah. You know? And that's part of I have to make a presentation to a bunch of women on Wednesday, 2 Wednesdays from now. And that was one of the things we talked about is there's multiple types of relationships. It's not the way it used to be. You can live in separate houses and be married. People do that.
And Katherine Hepburn said, you remember,
yeah,
you know that quote?
Sometimes you don't want to live with them.
Yeah.
My guy is a clutterbug and I can't do it. There's 40 years of his marriage in that house. I go crazy after one night. And he can't let go. And he's been widowed 4 years. He'll be 5 in January. But it's really hard for him. He feels deeply. And everything he picks up reminds him of the trip to Mexico or, you know, Russia or wherever. And so I've had to just breathe deeply when I'm in that house and just kind of, because her spirit is in there. Mm-hmm. And she told him he wasn't to date again. And he did it anyway. I think he has a little bit of guilt in the back of his mind.
I mean, I can't imagine how tough it must be to have been with somebody that long and then have to start over and you had all your agreements, you had all everything, right? And you just, plus all the stuff. I mean, I need to interview somebody who does like
decluttering,
Swedish cleaning, you know, where you like get rid of all the, because it becomes like an external manifestation of our past, you know?
Yeah. And she was an artist. So the one thing I succeeded at, thank you, universe, he flooded his kitchen. And he had to get rid of a bunch of stuff and he had to take everything out. And I helped him pick out the new kitchen, which was lovely because she had helped him pick out the first kitchen. And I now helped him pick out the second kitchen. Another girlfriend helped him pick out all the couches in one room. I picked out the couches in the other room. So it's weird, but there was a picture she had painted. And every time I sat on the couch to look at him cooking, because he cooks, I would see this picture and it would literally send a spike through my heart. After the kitchen was redone, I was able to convince him to move it to the wall behind the couch with a bunch of other things that were family oriented. And we put a neutral Barcelona poster he picked up in Barcelona. And I've been to Barcelona, so I could relate to that. This picture was of some place I went to in Southern Cal, you know, the Southwest. And she was a painter of all the red rocks and stuff. So it already changed the dynamic of the room for me.
Right.
But I didn't ask for that for 3 years or 2.5 years. His first girlfriend made him hide all her pictures.
That's another complex thing about.
She was very insecure. Mm-hmm. So if you're dating, if you're going to date a widower and you're going to not move into the house, but be in the house with him, don't touch anything that has a family connection. Let it go. I got him to give me a portion of a dresser where I could put a picture that I like and a little, you know, jewelry box. I said, I need something of me in this room. And I had him hide all of her awards because she had awards all over this one wall of the bedroom. Those got put into hiding. He agreed. Luckily, he went to therapy. He had been to a grief counselor after Gold Digger. So because he was just clinging to the Gold Digger, he was clinging to having someone in his life. So when you date a man who has been in a committed relationship, it's like when I lost mine after 30 years, there's a ghost.
Yeah.
There's a ghost of the past relationship, of the past love. And this is a saying that one of my therapists taught me, our marriage counselor. And she said, because I was feeling very guilty because I didn't love my second husband the way I loved my first. And she said, the heart is a whorehouse. There's a room for everyone. And they're all different.
The heart is a whorehouse. Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if you said it first, but I got it from my therapist. I just added the, and they're all different. Because what I've been telling my students, because this is part of my boot camp, we go through this little slide about this. I often would visit my past marriage and that first relationship and how it was a beautiful relationship until the children that we took on as foster parents and then adopted upset the dynamic, which is in my book. But what I found is I had to stop visiting that room because it was causing me to never fully engage in the second marriage. But I didn't even know that until 3 years before I left him. So sometimes we don't know. We can't figure it out on our own. We need a coach or a therapist. And don't beat yourself up if you're in that place, because it's a lot. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
We need someone who's seen more, done more, helped more people through it.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. You're amazing. I am so excited to even learn about your work.
Oh, thank you.
I'm definitely going to go at least get your book.
It's on Amazon. Sexy, Lean, and Strong After 50, How I Went From Fat, Depressed, and Divorced to the Best Shape of My Life, and How You Can Too.
I mean, what
And I'm on the cover with a flex because I was helping bodybuilders with their nutrition, so I had to work out with them to prove that what I was taking made me strong in my sick.
Wow.
And they were in their 40s and 50s.
That's always so incredible when you see
female bodybuilders or fitness models or whatever. Fitness, physique, whatever they called it. They had to pose in the bikinis, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Crazy
I was just going to say, I've seen some of those bodybuilders who are in their 60s. I think I've even seen one in her 70s.
There's one in her 80s.
Really?
Yes. There's one in her, I just found one in her 80s and she looks amazing.
Really? Oh my God.
Yeah, I got to get back in the gym. She's motivated me.
Lifting weights is supposed to be incredible for you.
It will change your body. And cardio is good. You have to do both. But lifting weights, especially as we age, maintain muscle, maintain bone.
Yeah.
I go back and forth between nutrition and health and dating. They go together.
It's like a happy life.
It's a happy life.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Deb. I can't wait to look up all your stuff.
Well, I'm excited. The meetup is free. I host it on Monday nights, California time, 6:45. I have people from all over the country and Canada. It's a little meetup. There's like 200 members, but we've been together a couple years now. And, you know, 6 to 8 people show up on a Monday. Sometimes it's one. You get free coaching for an hour. If you're the one person that shows up, it's free for an hour. That's I don't charge. Amazing. I'm kind of silly, but I do charge when I ultimately coach and I do charge for my boot camps and my courses, but I give away a lot. Before.
Well, I mean, I think that's great.
Makes sense to me.
Amazing.
I like it. It makes me happy.
If it makes you happy and you make other people happy, what could be wrong?
Yeah. And the meetup gals are dating without having ever hired me. Some of them went through the boot camp. That's only $47. But the meetup gals in Canada are dating. And they're the ones who came on the meetup and said, there's no guys here. I can't find any decent guys where I live. I'm like, okay, give me 3 weeks in your city and I'll find one. And guess what? They got on the dating sites and they found guys to date.
Amazing. Amazing.
It's fun. Make it fun. Just make it fun. Don't make it stressful. If it's stressful, don't do it. Just don't do it.
Great advice. Great life advice from Coach Deb.
You're wonderful, Karen. It's so nice
You're
to see you again.
Too. Yeah, so great to talk to you. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you.
Wow, that was so much fun. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. We'll see you next time on Second Wind Women. Let's make your second wind the strongest yet. Thanks.